Hello once again, and this is True American, your friendly partisan to the truth and American heritage, in a podcast reply to Magic and Benevolent Heretic. Ooh, Benevolent, don't let those guys tell you they're odd down there in some thread. You are not odd. In fact, I find you to be a quite engaging, intelligent, an interesting person. And on top of, I better stop right there. Moving right along, let me just finish up, I guess, answering your post here, Benevolent, before I get on to Sorcerer Magic Amon. First of all, thanks, Benevolent. I'm really glad you like the stuff, for sure. How can you say that you don't know how much my opinion will mean to you? I can tell you what. Anybody's opinion means something at this point. Yours, I suppose, means as much or more. I'll just put it to you that way. So I'm very flattered that you're digging the stuff. It's not the usual kind of stuff, as I think you've heard here, but I'm just really glad you're liking it. Yeah, the thing about the feeling and the production, there's places for it, though, and I wanted to clear that up before. I'm glad you mentioned that, actually, because I had mentioned that, you know, in talking to Magic, trying to make a point that, you know, from me to you kind of thing, it's a little more personal, I guess, to not do a produced thing. But there's certainly places where it applies, and I don't want people to take me wrong on that. You know, I think, for instance, I'll mention, Skeptic Overlord's podcast are great. They're appropriate. They're done right. I mean, he's fronting the whole site here, so... You know, that's appropriate, the stuff that he's doing in his podcast. And I'm not saying to, by any means, belittling that, because there is a place for it. And another place for it is what we're talking about right here, the producing of songs. I mean, there's certainly places for the production. And I guess the point I was just trying to make was that, you know, there's places not for the production, too. And that was pretty much it. It's no big deal. But, yes, I am very passionate about the music, and yes, you should go down and check out Magic stuff. He's got several uploaded, and you know, they all sound real good too. I think you'll hear Magic has got some really good talent. Yes, you're quite welcome, and I really appreciate the input, Benevolent. It really does mean a lot. You just have no idea how much it means to me to people come on here and say they like this stuff. I can't tell you. Maybe Magic can put it into words for you, since he likes words so much. Oh, I am so harping on you, Magic. And I'm sorry, but, you know, it's in a fun way. I'm not trying to be a turkey or anything. Anyway, moving on to Magic here. Magic, believe it or not, I completely missed and just saw this right now, this podcast that you answered to my other podcast. Just to illustrate the point of how easy it is to overlook stuff. And on that note, I wanted to make sure you took a listen to another tune that I uploaded called Hail Jah. That's a tune that is totally different perspective, but maybe you've caught it. I suppose maybe you have. I don't know. But check it out. It's on there if you haven't heard it so far. It's a totally different thing. But, you know, Magic, one of the things you mentioned in your last reply there, which I appreciate again, is about a long time ago you were developing an auto mixer, and that just, like, totally blew my mind, because I thought I was the only one with that idea, at least that I'd talked to this point, although I'm sure we're not the only one with that idea. But believe it or not, there's somebody I've worked with who... We've gotten into some pretty lengthy discussions about how to achieve that. That's been a dream of mine for a lot of years, is to have a device that would be able to auto-mix your music. But and we've even discussed this in relation to, like, the program that I'm using right now, which is Cubase, about how to interface an auto-mixer with the program so that it would automatically sense what kind of material was recorded on each track, and be able to manipulate the program to where pretty much maybe give you, you know, five presets of, okay, this is, you know, or 20 presets, you know, and maybe generate a mix according to that preset just to see, you know, how stuff would sound. But man, it's a tall order to fill. That would be, if you can imagine the implications of that in a real, you know, pro kind of mixing situation, it would be pretty heavy to do. Not only because of the, digital audio file, interpretation of that, but, the person I was talking to that about with is a coder and programmer, and he was mentioning that it might be possible with some kind of new technology that they have a neural network. I think that's what it was, now that I remember. Yeah. So, but man, you're talking like majorly complicated, dude. Majorly. So we got into pretty deep discussions, but we kind of dropped it. It's still an idea that's alive in my head, and I'm just amazed when you said that. Never heard anybody else say that. So, man, I think we probably have a lot of stuff in common. There's another thing, too, which maybe I'll remember here in a little while. But I just wanted to say I probably could have gone into some better detail about the Mind series tunes you're hearing there. I really meant to, but I got so long-winded in the last podcast, just, you know, flipping out that you were liking it so much that I kind of forgot to get into the more juicy stuff. So here's some more juicy stuff for you. The particular track I talked about before, In Search Of, to me was a little bit groundbreaking because of what I felt I had achieved in the part that slows down and appears to change meter. In the middle there, you'll notice when the drums drop out for a second, and then I think the bass line or some may keep going there, but it starts to tail off, and I introduced a section there where the timing was really cool how it worked out. And interestingly, that whole section is actually in 4/4, but because of the way I was able to manipulate the beats around, it turned out sounding like it almost changes time signature. But if you follow the pulse of the tune really carefully through that point, like tap your fingers, because it's almost going to take it to be able to stick with it, you'll find that when I come out of that with some kind of triplet roll into the other section, it comes out on the one, and just the feel, that particular feel I was able to achieve through that section, I think was, if I'm not mistaken, is totally unique to any other music. I've never heard it before in all the fusion that I've listened to, and I've listened to a pretty good bit of the stuff. So just a note for you on that. Maybe you can listen for it next time you hear In Search Of. My next favorite track is probably Event Control. I had a tough time recording Event Control, particularly those guitar parts at the beginning intro. That's an acoustic intro guitar part that was just really rough to get practiced up. They're really tough chords, and they move quick, and it's finger picking. And so then, as if that wasn't enough, I had to get the bright idea that I needed to use that part and then include that part plus an altered part of it for the middle section in Event Control when it slows back down. Well, it doesn't slow down, but when it softens back down, there's a sort of a soft solo middle-y section where I bring in that guitar part again and added another altered part to it. So when I got the idea, I was like kicking myself on the butt going, man, you know how hard that was to record the original, you know, just the intro part, let alone trying to, you know, get a take on the intro part plus an altered part. So yeah, these are the kind of things that are flowing through my mind while I'm doing this stuff. The mood that Event Control creates is one of my favorite on the album, just because it's kind of not happy, kind of not sad, just kind of sort of a little bit ethereal almost to me, a little bit, I don't know, it's hard to describe me to put a description on the mood that track creates, Event Control. Not to mention that I really love the name of the song. Just some more thoughts for you on that. Another favorite part, particularly of the CD, is the soft part in the middle of The Unknown. that was the most difficult, probably, guitar part for rhythm that I think I've ever come up with in anything I've ever done. The chords on that guitar in the middle section of The Unknown are very, very tough to get down cleanly, but they ended up being sounding so pretty. I loved those chords there in the middle of The Unknown when it gets soft and you hear that slow part. What else? Let's see. The tune We Wander was an interesting venture because, as you can hear, the whole tune is in 7. And that means 7/4 to anybody listening to this that doesn't really know music. It's a time signature. It's how the music is laid out. Most modern music you'll hear is like in 4/4 or 6/8 time, which is usually blues and fast shuffle type stuff. And it was real challenging to write that, particularly because of the time signatures. And I felt like when I was done, finally, because, man, that one went through a heck of a lot of revisions. But I felt like when I was done, I had achieved a pretty good flow musically, considering that it was in 7/4. Try to write something in 7/4 sometime, magic, and you'll see what I mean. It's rough. It's really rough to get it to flow right, because you're already dropping a beat, and to keep it bringing around and make the music and the melody flow still while you're in that time signature is what the really hard part to note on that tune is. Let's see, for some of the other things, I think Benevolent Heretic had mentioned she liked number 4. That has a very special meaning to me. I happen to love that song, too, very much. There's not one I really don't love, I guess. It's just there's some that, more specific sections of the tunes that I like and have come to love over the years of listening to it, but... for Benevolent Heretic, that song number, I think it was 4, Our Minds, is a song or a tune that I wrote after I had broken up with the very woman who I had lived with for 3 years, who facilitated or helped to facilitate me getting the recording equipment that album was actually recorded on. And it was a very difficult breakup for me. I really loved that woman, and things just didn't work out. And that's the tune that I composed almost as an escape, I'm going to say, from the pain that I was feeling during that breakup and just immediately afterwards. As a matter of fact, right after I moved out from her place, I think I went right to work on that tune, and I had to do it. I mean, I was just hurting so bad, it was my release. And interestingly, there was a long guitar solo in the middle there. You'll notice it's almost like a section that goes, it gets a little more upbeat, and the drums come in, and there starts to be more of a beat to it, and you'll hear the beat change and stuff. Well, originally, there was a guitar solo there that I struggled just back and forth. I mean, it was one of the longest things that took me in the whole album to figure out whether I wanted to keep it or not. And it was a good guitar solo. I liked it. I had some really, I thought, some cool licks that I hadn't tried before in that solo. But I opted in the end to leave it out because of the mood of the piece. And I felt like if I left it in there, it was going to detract from the mood of the piece somewhat, so I had to finally axe it. And on one hand, I still kind of regret it to this day, but hey, yeah, it's music. Live with it, you know. That's pretty much how I had to look at it. Every time I hear it, it brings back some pretty painful memories, the kind of pain that when you lose someone you love and, you know, it hurts. And so there you have it. Anyway, moving on to, I guess, number, what other thing? Using the Invisible, that track is kind of not one of my more favorite on the album. I still like it and everything. And I think one of the cool things in that track was the harmony guitars were kind of cool on some of the licks that I did through there. As you can hear, the harmony guitars come in. I like some of those licks, but the overall feel, and I like the bass line of that tune. In fact, the bass line stripped down is probably one of my favorite bass lines on the whole record, but the development that happened on top of it didn't come out as, maybe as quite as nice as I would have liked, or maybe it didn't complement the bass line as much as I would have liked. But the bass line by itself in development was just really cool. It just had a really cool groove to it, I thought. Anyway, maybe you can listen to that and focus on it, Magic, at some point during one of those listens and see what you think. Soul Free is another tune that I spent a pretty good bit of time on. And if I had to do it over again, I really don't know that I'd change much with Soul Free, other than, there's a couple things. Like Magic says, there's always some blind spot, and artists just aren't happy with what they release. There's always something, but one thing, two things that you just wish you'd have done slightly different, but, you know, you just eventually have to lay the egg on this stuff, and that's one thing you just sort of have to get used to. There has to come a point where you just have to lay the egg and let it go, you know, but Soul Free also, that used to be my favorite song on the whole thing for, in fact, probably the first 2 years that I released the CD, because it just sort of had that plight to it, plight, of the soul for me. It's just sort of free and happy, and that's what I wanted with that tune. I wanted it to be kind of light and lively, but have a good beat and still go into some cool parts and stuff. And anyway, just thought I'd mention that. But that's about as much as I suppose I can give you as commentary on the music, on the Mind series. You know, if there's anything specific anybody wants to know, I'd be happy to answer it. It took a heck of a lot out of me to do that project. And yeah, Magic, it was rough trying to hold down two jobs and do it. But I finally managed to get through it, and I'm glad I did, because it's been a pretty good, you know, business and calling card ever since. And once again, I'll say thanks for all the compliments. And on that note, ciao, adios, and talk to you soon. This is True American, signing out.